And I'll also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Look at your neighbor and say, the gates can't prevail. The gates of hell cannot prevail. We're going to talk about the church. Thank you, Jay. We're going to talk about the church. In scripture, it was Jesus telling Peter after he asked the disciples, who am I? And Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus responded like this. He says, because you know who I am, I will build my church. Because you know who I am, I will build my church. Because you know who I am, I will build my church. Because you know who I am, I will build my church. Jesus then says the church will be so powerful, watch it, that hell cannot prevail against it. He took me out of wavy faith, waiting faith, and wavy faith because he has something he wants to say to his church. Normally when he interrupt plans, there's something he's trying to say. Will you clean those? There's something he's trying to say. So tell your neighbor, God got something he want to say to you. He said, Jesus says the church will be so powerful that hell cannot prevail against it. There will be hell. There will be, let me say that again. There will be hell, but it cannot prevail. There will be mockery, but it cannot prevail. There will be people coming against the church, but it will not prevail. The devil will use folks to try to make mockery of his church. Some of y'all done seen the Drewski video. Man, you made it worse. My God. And he making mockery of the Lord's church. He was doing it for a joke. But look at the disruption it caused in the church. Look at the disruption that it's causing on social media. And because of it, that things are happening and people are responding in a way. So God had me to talk about his church today. He said there will be hell, but it will not prevail. It's just for a moment. Chaos and craziness is happening. Just for a moment. Foolery is happening just for a moment. Y'all pray for my wife. Church, we prevail as a church in the spirit because we know Jesus who has given victory. We prevail because we know Jesus who has given victory. Without Jesus, the bridegroom, there's no bride. There's no church. To know, what does it mean to know? I'm going to have to give you some information today. It is to perceive or understand as fact or truth, to apprehend clearly and with certainty. Are you certain you know him? It is to have established or fixed in the mind or memory. That's what it means to know him. To know is to be cognizant or aware of. To be acquainted with as by sight, watch it, experience or report. How many times we have said, somebody asked us, do you know Jimmy? I know of him, but I don't know him. Yeah. How many times we said that I know of him, but I don't know? It's a lot of people sitting in the church that know of the Lord, but don't know the Lord. My God. Ooh, my God. We know of him because we heard folk talk about him. We done seen him before. We done seen people shout, so we shout. We done seen people worship, so we worship. We done seen people dress nice, so we dress nice. We done seen people preach because we preach. But we still don't know the Lord. Because we have to have a relationship. And when I think about my relationship, when I say I know him, it is fixed in the mind because of my experience with him. I have reports that he did it. I have reports that he came through. I have reports that I prayed and asked for a thing and it manifested because he did it. I have something to fall on. That's how I know him. I've been with him. I've been in prayer. I spent time hanging out with him. Me and him been talking for a while. He knows some stuff you don't know. Yeah, tell somebody, do you know him or do you know of him? We are his church because we know him, not because he made this available. I'm going to rub somebody. The Lord says, watch it, I want to increase my people. This is what he told me yesterday. He said, I want to increase my people to impact communities and cities. I want to increase my people, that's all of us, to impact communities and cities. He wants to increase the church's influence. There was a time when the church had influence. Let me talk about it. I said there was a time when the church had influence. Social media has given them another way to scrutinize the church. But there was a time when there was no internet that mama said, you going to church, you going to church. Now we are letting the kids determine whether or not they are coming. Now we're letting them have their prerogative, how they feel, what they want to do. We are allowing our kinfolk to not even be influenced by the power that's supposed to reside in me. Why? Is it because we know of him or we know him? But there was a time I can remember when the youth was in the choir stand. There was a time when all the young folk were singing in the choir. There was a time when we didn't play about being at church. We were present because we knew on Sunday that was where you needed to be. It wasn't no questions asked. But because now we're in the world we're in, parents are more lenient because they think that this is the way the world's supposed to work. You're supposed to have a screen. Parents are becoming sisters and brothers instead of mom and dad. Parents are lonely. We don't want to talk about it. And because you're so broken, you cannot be a parent. You got all your insufficiencies that you are not allowing the Lord to deal with, and it's causing you to be in a place where you cannot parent well. You need a friend. So you cling to your daughter or your son. You need somebody to love you, so you cling to your daughter or your son. But God says, I'm here to do that. I'm here to give you what you need so you can be the parent you need to be to that child. Tell somebody, he's increasing my influence. And the way he's going to increase your influence, he's going to work through his power, through his Holy Ghost power, through his spirit that's going to cause you to become what he needs you to become. So when you go to the party, act like you don't. What is the party? It's the cookout at somebody's house that they're talking about folks in the church, and you won't stand up because the power ain't at work in you.
And God says, I'm trying to increase your influence. Meanwhile, you under the influence of somebody else's impression. Trying to prove you how you used to be instead of prove who you are now. But God says, I'm trying to increase your influence. Tell somebody, he's changing me. There was a time when the church had influence. We got to know him on another level. Tell your neighbor, he's increasing my capacity from what I've known the church to be. I got to get bigger than that. I got more work to do because the internet is real, because the times are real. So I can't act like how mama them act, because mama them didn't deal with the internet. But I need the power mama them had, because it's the same power that can change and destroy yours. It's the same power that will deliver and change you. It's the same power that will give you influence. Tell somebody, he's giving me influence. In biblical context, the church, tell somebody, the church is not a place you come to worship. It is not a place you come to worship. I'm going to church today. Yeah, but I'm going around y'all. It ain't about this building, it's about God's people. God didn't call us out of darkness into light to still be dark. I'm coming in here around my folk. The Greek word for church is ekklesia. John, it's ekklesia. I want y'all to remember that. Ekklesia means to be called out. So the meaning of it is called out ones. So church, Greek ekklesia, called out ones. 1 Corinthians 12:27, we are described, to point at yourself, say, I'm described as the body of Christ. That's me. I may be the feet, but you may be the ankle. And if the ankle bone and the feet bone ain't connected, then we can't walk. We cannot move. We cannot do what we need to do. Y'all done heard it before. We cannot be a church until we're really representing being called out. Do you really represent it? Do you really represent it? Or do you look like every other coworker? Do you really represent it? I look like every other husband. I look like every other wife. Do I really represent being called out? Did he really do a work in me, or do I look like I looked 5 years ago? Because my God is an evolving God. He calls me to keep growing. I grow with him. I don't stay the same. Colossians 3 teaches us how to live called out. I ain't got time to deal with all of it. Colossians 3 talks about what to put off. Fornication. It talks about a lot of different things to put off. It tells you how to live with God. Then Colossians on down will tell you how to put on the new man. Tell you the stuff you need to be doing, what to be looking for. And if it's explaining to me how to be with God, why am I tripping? Why am I still tripping? It is because there is a battle going on between the spirit man and the flesh. And if you don't feed the spirit man and you keep feeding the flesh, guess what's going to happen? You're going to lean on the flesh. Good way to see it is your stomach start growing. Your legs get a little wider. That's because you're feeding the flesh. But you need to go on a diet. Well, if I want to explain it to you, I want to say it like this. Why not just fast instead of diet?
we'll rather diet instead of fast. Just fast. Tell your neighbor, just fast. Just fast. God didn't call us out of darkness to still have darkness. Darkness is anything that is attached to you that doesn't line up with God's will for your life. If it don't line up with this will, it's darkness. I'm trying to be the light. Because in order to be the church, we must be acquainted with Jesus. Look at your neighbor, tell him, the church is not this building. Biblically, I'm going to help somebody, it is described as a city, a people, and a way of life. The church is a city where people can see. How many of y'all like to go sightseeing in a city? It is a people, Christians, Christianity, people who believe in the faith, in Jesus. It is a way of life. Worship is what you do every day if you are a believer. It's what you do. So if I'm the church, I'm a way of life. Because how I live, somebody should want to follow me. That's called influence. How I live, somebody should want to live like me. So let me ask you a question. Are you duplicating yourself? Because I'm looking at 10 people, but we should be bringing people with us because there's something here that they need from God. And it ain't got nothing to do with the building or the pastor. It got everything to do with me. If you see me come, you should be coming with me. Why? Because I'm teaching you how to live how God taught me how to live. Here we go. In order to be the church, we got to be acquainted with Jesus. The church is a city, a people, and a way of life. Matthew 5:14 gives it to you. It says, you are the light of the world. I said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Why people always looking at me and I get everybody attention? You the light. Why are they trying to come talk to me and ask me questions? Because you're the light. Point to yourself and say, I'm the light. I'm the light. So the church is a city. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Why are you trying to hide? Why when you get amongst your peers, you're trying to hide? Everybody else drinking, and you just sitting back like, I don't drink. I don't drink. Why? Because I don't do that. No, I don't drink because I love the Lord, and I'm trying to please God. So we hide in our language. We don't really want to say his name in certain places. In certain situations, I'm at work. I ain't got no business talking about praying. The devil is a liar because I'm called out. I don't care if they got rules and regulations. I'm called out. Tell your neighbor, ask your neighbor, are you called out? We are so scrutinized as the church because God designed it that way. Let me say that again. We are scrutinized as the church because it has been designed that way. We are scrutinized as the church because God designed it that way. You mean to tell me he took his son, his only begotten son, sent him for a filthy world? He knew you were going to be sleeping around. But yet he sent his son. He knew you were going to be lying. But yet he sent his son. He knew you were going to have all kind of issues. But yet, he sent his son Because he loved the world. Not the church, the world. Because he knew the world needed saving. So he sent a son to us that we may have everlasting life. And we will not perish. That's why he did it. Tell your neighbor, that's why he did it. So from the beginning, it was designed to be scrutinized. Jesus come on earth and began to do miracles that are uncommon to man. They talked about him. How can he be the son of the living God? They didn't believe. But yet Jesus stayed the course. They spit on him. They mocked him. They said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. If you're really that Jesus, why are you not taking yourself off the cross? Because God is sovereign and he does what he wants to, which means he designed the church to be scrutinized. So why are you tripping? Why are you tripping when you go in the grocery store and you hear somebody talking about your church or you or whatever, the church? Why are you tripping? Because God designed the church to be scrutinized. So if they're talking about your pastor, don't start tripping, because God designed the church to be scrutinized. Stop looking at pastors on Facebook that's doing stuff that they're not supposed to be doing and judging them and complaining and allowing it to detour your faith. God designed the church to be scrutinized, because we can't be hidden with the light. Even in failure, we're the light. Even in weakness, we're the light. Even in brokenness, we're the light. Why? Because he can still save me. He can still pick me up. He can still turn me around. I can go to prison for 15 years and be delivered for 30. I'm just looking for some praises in the room. They know I've been broken for 5 years, but I've been delivered and saved and made whole for 7 years. Because that's the kind of God I serve. You may look at me today and say, you look bad. But tomorrow you may say, you look better. Because that's the kind of God we serve. Tell your neighbor, you will be scrutinized. Don't hide, because you're the light. The only way to hide is to get back in the dark. The only way to hide is to get back in the dark. Look at your neighbor and tell them, don't go back, don't go back, don't go back, don't go back. Because you got to stay in the light. You got to be who God called you to be. This is your hour to walk forward. Don't look back. Keep going. Keep stepping. Keep moving. If you fail, get up and keep pushing. Why? Because I'm the church. Tell your neighbor, I'm the church. Glory to God. I'm the church. I'm the church. And the only way to hide is in the dark. Hiding is when we're not allowing ourselves to become fully alive in Christ. That's when we hide. I told you, he talked to me yesterday. I heard him clearly. He said, talk about my church. It's too much going on. You got, in order to be his church and to not be hiding is to be fully alive. Tell somebody, I got to get fully alive. That's right. Aligning is allowing our feelings to determine whether we will be the light or not. I don't feel like it. I'm going through. You better learn how to go through and still be the light. Because my Bible tells, I told you Tuesday, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So you got to learn how to be the light anyway. My God. Tell somebody, you got to learn how to be the light anyway. If God, watch it, is the maker of your gifts and your talents, our first responsibility is to use them for his glory. I'm just wondering if I got some people that's grabbing what I'm saying. If God gave you gifts
and develop talents in you, the first thing you need to do is use them for his glory. There are people sitting in church not using them. There are people not using them. Not using your gifts or talents that God gave you is not being the church. The first place that need your gifts and talents right here amongst the believers, because we need encouragement. We need gifts and talents. We need people to come in here and use their gifts to glorify God. It just does something for the inside. It encouraged me to see a gifted preacher, a gifted singer, a talented greeter. It encouraged me to see people be able to use their gifts and talents amongst believers, because it causes us to just go higher. Tell your neighbor, we're going higher. We're going higher. The world, somebody say the world. The world teaches you talent. The world takes you and gives you a piece of paper, put your name, your phone number, in places you don't work before. You don't know how to do the job. You just used to work somewhere for 30 years. And you walk in the building, write down, fill out the application. Oh, you've been there for 30 years? Come on back here, let me show you what we do. You got in the door because you work, not because you know what to do, what's behind the door. So you go in and they teach you how to do the job. They teach you. Tell your neighbor, they teach you. And what's funny to me, if we're so willing to get up at 5 a.m., go to work, get off at 4 and be dog tired, can't function, going to sleep every day. Why? Because they paying me. Ooh, y'all know where I'm about to go. Y'all know. They paying me to do this. So why are we not using what God gave us for God? He gave us talents and gifts. Taught us some stuff, put it in our spirit, gave it to us for free, and we won't use it for him, for his church, for his body of believers. Why? It is because the scripture says you cannot worship God and mammon. I do what I need to do for men, but I'm tripping about God's word. I do what I need to do to have a house, a car, clothes on my back, food on the table. But the scripture plainly says in chapter 6 in Matthew, don't worry about none of that. So I go back to this. Are we really representing being the body of Christ? Because everything we do looks like the world. We look like them, we act like them, we trip like them, all that. I gotta pay my bill. But the scripture say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and he'll take care of all that. I ain't telling you not to go to work. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, fix your priorities. You gotta fix it. Tell your neighbor, you gotta fix it, you gotta fix it, you gotta fix it. Watch it. I'm out of there. I'm done with that. The Bible teaches us to stay together. If we're called out, we are a city we cannot hide. We are called out, and we have responsibility. And we got to stay together. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, stay together. Tell them, stay connected. I'm almost finished. Stay together. Stay connected. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Stop tripping about being the church and being together. Tell your neighbor, stop tripping. Be here on Tuesday.
be the church. Here we go. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here we go. As the Lord's church, we must have clarity on why we need to be together. I'm going to help somebody. We got to have clarity. Why you keep saying come to church? Why we need to be together? Why we got to stay connected? It is because we are the body of Christ. And if we're divided, we cannot be a body. My arm laying over there. Can you imagine your shoulder trying to reach your arm? My feet at home. My brain at home. I'm just walking around with eyes and mouth. I can't talk to you. I'm like a zombie. That's how we operate at the church. That's why it's so important that we stay together. Because every function, every person is needed for God to get the glory out of his church. Here we go. When we gather, it is for the strengthening of the body. When we gather, it's like lifting weights. When we gather, it's like running a mile. When we gather, it's like drinking a vitamin juice. When we gather, that's what it's for, to strengthen the body. Your physical body and the spirit body, God's body, body of Christ, all that. It is for the empowering of the body. You need empowerment because there are things that's going to come your way, and because you heard the preacher, you had some comeback. But if you ain't connected, you didn't have no comeback. If you're in la-la land, you didn't have no comeback. So all you can fall back to is dark. You go to cussing. What you say to me, you go to acting a fool, having an attitude, because you didn't have no fallback. You didn't have nothing empowering you to do different. You want to know why we're stuck in sin? Because there's no empowerment happening. Watch it. A woman, I tell my wife this all the time, a woman is the only thing that will stay unhappy for 30 years with the same man. And you'll never know she unhappy. But God just gave me a gift. I can pick it up, Sister Lucinda. I tell my wife, you unhappy, I see it. Ask her, do I tell her that? And she'll come back with this. You think you know everything. I said, girl, it show up in your actions. Just watch. Watch. You wondering why they don't act like they did when you first got married. Just watch. But the church are staying a place not being empowered for 30 years. We're just like a woman. And you know why? It is because we just come to church. We just park the doors. But there needs, I preached a sermon in Calhoun City called When We Gather. When we get together. Get it? When we get together, somebody needs my conversation. Somebody needs my encouragement. Somebody needs my smile. That's your part. You are the teeth of the body of Christ. That was Holy Ghost right there. I need to write that down. You are the teeth of the body of Christ. Somebody needs your smile. The body, watch this, needs food and nourishment. Why we act like we don't?
When the preacher get up, oh, Lord, he going to be up there all day. We already done pumped ourselves up for me to sit down. So we cannot receive and eat. The body needs food, and it needs nourishment. Nourishment is when you get around your sisters and brothers, and you begin to talk about some of the things you're going through, and somebody has a word that encourages you. Somebody has something to say that picks you up. When you have been down all week, they pick you up by being around them. They help you get what you need, the nourishment you need for that trial, that trouble. God has people in this building that you can say something to that has an encouragement for you. Sometimes they may say, child, I know exactly how you feel, and that's just enough to pick you up. They just might say, I went through the same thing. That should be enough to pick you up, to know you ain't by yourself. God got people around you that dealt with some of the same things you're dealing with. Tell somebody, we're going to be the church. God is calling us into increase because the assignment is great. This place where we gather, this place, I'm talking about the building now, is a place of refuge. It is a place of refuge. So there must be a people within the place to be the church. Watch it. Who can offer shelter? Who can offer shelter? I ain't telling you to let strange people in your house, but if God say do it, don't fight it, because he'll protect you. Watch this, being transparent. We came, they gave us his church. The man wrote out a little note, signed it on a piece of paper. Everybody around me saying, you need to get legal documents. You need to get legal documents. You need to get legal documents. I looked at my wife and I told her, she wasn't saying that. She was just, baby, pray about it. And I prayed about it, and the Lord told me, if I gave it to you, I'll protect you in it. So I let go of that. I even went as far as calling the man, asking him, will you sign legal documents? He said, sure, we'll sign what we need to sign. But the Lord told me, if I gave it to you, I'll protect you in it. And if it's time for you to go, it's time for you to go. He said, I don't want you to get stuck. Tell your neighbor, we're just passing by. There got to be a place where we can offer. We got to be a people where we can offer shelter. We got to be a people where we can offer protection. There are some people that need protection, like spiritual protection, because they're dealing with some demons. And we need some people that are able to walk that path with them to deliverance. It got to be a people who can offer relief. Some people are just stressed. Look at your neighbor, ask them, are you stressed? Some of y'all can say, yeah. Some of y'all can say, I got a little bit going on. And then, don't be so deep that you like, nah. And the only reason why you saying nah, because you too deep. Sometimes I get some answers from folks, I just be like, you just too deep. And you can be so deep where you can't even understand people's problems. You can't relate. When we gather, somebody say, when we gather. It's a place of love. So there must be a people who love people. Talk to somebody. When you see new people come in, don't wait on me to go talk to them. Go talk, speak. I seen a young lady Tuesday. I could tell she wanted to talk to multiple people, but she was kind of ashamed. Her first time here. We got to go talk.
We got to make the effort. Don't get busy doing other stuff. You know they in the building. We got to be the church. I'm still preaching, just helping you. It's a place, this is a place of peace. Tell somebody it's a place of peace. So there must be a people who are whole, who are complete, who are in right relationship with God. You cannot bring peace when you are in chaos. Transparent moment again. All right, this is the only way I can help you. My wife said, I need more stories. Well, I only got what I got. I told her this morning, I said, JJ can frustrate the mess out of me. He just don't do what he's supposed to do. It's just frustrating. I'm in worship, turning around saying, too fast, too slow. I can't focus on what I'm supposed to be doing, trying to tell you what you're supposed to be. That's frustrating. And so it rubs off when I preach. I sound like I'm frustrated. You can't bring peace if there is no peace. Sometimes we're not even asking God for peace because we've gotten comfortable with the trouble, with the chaos. I don't understand why we don't want to get out of chaos. If that young white lady brought me a bunch of chaos, I'm gone. I'm just being real. I'm gone. No question, and she'll tell you, she gone too. No question of that, because God didn't call me to be in chaos. Y'all don't want to talk about that. You can't bring peace if you're in chaos all the time. I'm sorry, you just can't. Because you done got comfortable with being frustrated. And you just, your fire, your smile and your talking just fake. And people can tell it. In order for us to be the bride of Jesus, we must know him. We can't be his bride. You like being at the altar, finna get married, and you don't know who you married. You can't be his bride until you know him. Jesus told Peter, because you know me, I'll build my church on that. He said, it will prevail. And the gates of hell don't have a chance. So it's imperative that we transition from the act of coming to the building to the church being our way of life. Tell somebody, it's my way of life. You can play softly, Jay. Jesus said in John 14:5, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody say it. I'm the way, the truth, the life. That's what he said in John 14:5. He says, I'm your way, I am your truth, and I'm your life. And the scripture tells us in order to find your life, you lose it in him. So you don't know nothing about you until you really know Jesus. And that's when you'll find out that you're really beautiful on the inside. You're really nice. But you keep acting in anger because evil is present. And that's why it keeps happening. You still snapping on folk because evil is present. But you got to lose your life in Jesus. Meaning, there's a greater sacrifice for me. I got to pray more. I got to worship more. I got to turn on YouTube, turn on Maverick City. I was listening to some good songs in the morning. I was happy in my spirit. So I want you to begin to receive him now. Just receive him now. Receive him now. Because he's the way, the truth, the life. And if you know you've been dealing with hard stuff, stuff that's keeping you from being the Lord's church, I want you to begin to talk to him right now and just say, Lord, I'm in a place where I'm struggling. I need your help. I need your help. I can't offer up what I need to offer up to you because I'm struggling. I feel beat up. I feel discouraged sometimes. There are times when I feel like I'm doing more and more and more. I need some relief. I can't be relief. Somebody said, how do you spell relief? They said, J-E-S-U-S. Jesus is how you get relief. I'm in chaos, and I want to come out of it, but I don't know how. Give me relief. J-E-S-U-S. If you're in the building today, you say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. I want to be better at being the church. I just want you to touch and agree with me. If that's you, I want you to wave your hand right where you are. I see three hands. Father, I stretch my hand toward those people in faith that you will cause them to see the light. You will cause them to see the areas that you are trying to change and turn them from their wicked ways and the things that are causing them to shift in their mind. God, you're intervening even now, and you're causing them to see you in the hardship, in the hard time, in the difficult moment, when they are frustrated, when they do get mad. You said, be angry, but sin not. Father, I pray for those hands. I pray, God, that you are strengthening them and you are helping them be the church. Because, God, we want to be the church. We want to be pleasing into your sight. We want to strive and be all we can be for God's kingdom. But we need your help. And you are there to help us. You are there to give us strength. You are there to empower us. You have given us the things we need to be successful on this earth. And so, Father, we thank you that we're not having misplaced worship. We're not putting things before you. We're prioritizing the right thing. And that's Jesus. Jesus and his purpose for me on this planet. While I have time, I'll serve him. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord with everything we have. I will be the church. I will represent well. I will focus on being who you call me to be. I will not play any longer. Give me strength to fight against every demon that's trying to attack me, that's causing me to go in to do things I don't need to do. Give me the strength to fight back. When ain't nobody looking, when I'm by myself and I ain't in church and the music ain't playing, when I'm just looking at the TV, give me the strength to fight back. Give me the strength to fight. Let your power rise up on the inside of me that will give me the strength to push it, the evil away. Father, I thank you when I'm laying in my bed and negative thoughts come in my mind. God, you're giving me the strength to correct my mind, correct my thoughts. You're putting the right people in my circle that will give me the wisdom I need to help me fight. This battle is hard, but you already won it. You've won every battle. You have never lost a battle. And so I know I'm able to win because you gave me victory on the inside, the power to stand up. As I pray, as I seek your face, you're giving me power. As I pray, as I seek your face, you're giving me strength. As I pray, as I seek your face, you're giving me everything I need to hold on to your unchanging love. Your unchanging power. You're giving me strength to hold on to that, to know I got you on my side and you're fighting for me. If he's fighting for you, I want you to put your hands together.